Welcome back, Soil Nation, and the Top Soil Podcast headquarters right here in Ainsworth, Iowa. I'm here with Mitch Hora from Continuum Ag LLC. Look him up on Facebook at Continuum Ag LLC, on Twitter. Twitter at Continuum Ag LLC. Trent Stout with Stout Seed. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Make sure you check us out. Okay, so today we want to talk a little bit about some projects that you're working on, that we're working on, that have to do with interseeding cover crops and a new method.
Yeah.
Maybe, well, not trying necessarily a new method, but a way that guys are trying to get figured out, which I think would make a lot of sense for a lot of guys. So why don't I just turn it over to you, Mitch?
So a little introduction into this deal. Continuum Ag, we do a lot of trials, research trial kind of stuff, mostly with products, but doing some cover crop trial kind of stuff too. So got hit up by a company that is wanting to look at interseeded cover crops applied just with the fertilizer spreader. And the whole aim is that we put on the cover crop in the spring when we're putting on our urea or AMS or ammonium nitrate, whatever, being spread granular over the top into standing corn. And the aim there is that a big issue with cover crops is the cost to put them on in the fall, whether that be with an airplane, of course, or a helicopter is even more expensive than drilling them. But the Iowa State custom rate for drilled cover crops is $16.40 an acre. So if you can avoid a $16 cost, that really makes the cover crop deal work out really well, especially because a lot of times we can get be under 10 bucks, 15 bucks an acre, maybe 20 bucks an acre in seed cost. So if you can avoid the $16 application fee or more, that's a pretty good deal. So that's what we're kind of looking at to get applied here really soon, that we're going to be putting on a mix of cover crops with the urea soon. So Trent, I guess, been working with you on what species we want to be utilizing here. Let's kind of recap that a little bit, putting as far as broadcast applying a cover crop into standing corn and 1st of June, end of March, 1st of June. We've got a couple things going, trying to get some diversity. We've been talking annual rye, crimson clover, tillage radishes, maybe looking at some other kind of clovers and whatnot to get in there too. I don't know, kind of walk us through, I guess, the thought process there, kind of how we came to that conclusion of those couple species.
Well, so a couple months back, I got a phone call from a guy in Indiana who's now working as a consultant, but his name's Dan Towery.
Yeah.
Used to be with the NRCS for a long time, I believe. And we talked about a study that they were doing out in Indiana that was dealing with annual ryegrass, crimson clover, and daikon radishes, right? So they're doing a coated species with urea, and I just thought it would be interesting if our study played off the same species that their study did, just for the purposes of, you know, more data points, different location.
Yeah.
So that's really the reason for the three species that we picked. I mean, the other reason is because you do have one brassica, you have one clover, and you have one grass, you know, so it gives you a little bit of an idea of how, you know, those species, those families will respond in these type of conditions. So I think that was the most important thing, is basically getting a clover, a grass, and a brassica in there. And then, you know, could we have done this? Could we have done that? Could we have added 17, you know, this and that and all these other exotics and blah, blah, blah? Yeah, we could have, but that really isn't the purpose of what we're trying to do. The purpose is, you know, first and foremost, to see if this ballistically is
going to work,
right? Because we have to get whatever we use to be able to travel in the same spread as fertilizer pellets.
Right.
That's the first hurdle.
Right.
That's why a lot of guys are wanting to go to coated seed, because they think it has better ballistic properties. I shouldn't say that they think that. They know that, right?
Yeah.
So the question is, one, can we do a study that is contrary to the coated study just for giggles? I mean, just to see differences there.
Yeah.
And then two, to see if which of these species can survive. and maybe get some information moving forward. I think this could really benefit, cattle guys, I think, really excited about this, about getting this in early to try to get some forage for the fall.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to be paying quite a bit of attention to the results. I know I'm going to be paying attention just because of my customer base, and I think that they could really benefit from something like this.
And I think, we talked about it here earlier, that they feed supplies right now are kind of low for guys. So any other opportunity that we can get to try to make up for some lost revenue here in the last couple seasons, like, that's a pretty big deal.
Well, and I think that, not only are feed supplies low coming in, if you weren't with us a couple episodes when we talked about this, feed supplies were low coming into this year because of the drought that we had last year. So hay supplies are real low, but then we didn't have that tremendous growth from our cover crop where guys are typically chopping cereal rye or triticale or, Triton peas or whatever your cocktail is. But those guys, we had shorter growth, less tonnage. So those guys are going to be a little bit disappointed. So they're not going to be able to stretch those acres as far as maybe what they wanted to do. So those guys already are looking at a pretty bad cattle market, and then to then have to go pay for hay, which hay prices are high.
Yeah.
It doesn't help pencil anything in the black on that. So these guys looking for cheap food sources, cheap way to stretch that acre to make more revenue per acre, this could be a really promising
thing. I like it. And I mean, it's got everything going behind it to make sure it works. And so I guess just to clarify on the ballistics kind of stuff, we're talking about pretty light seeds and small seeds that aren't going to fly. We're trying to spread this stuff 80, 90 feet. I mean, you're spreading this stuff a pretty long way.
Your ryegrass is going to struggle.
Yeah, the rye's not going to get there. But what we talked about was, so maybe we hit on what you looked at for the coatings and stuff. I know you helped me do some research on that. Basically, we've decided if you're going to feed your cattle on it, you're trying to get a little erosion control, you're trying to get some cover out there, baby step into this, that there's some give and take here. Maybe it's okay if we don't have perfect coverage. It's not going to be perfect stand, but we're going to get good stand out there across enough of the acres to make it worth it.
Right.
We're going to cover 75% of the field, and maybe we up our rates just a little bit to make up for that. As far as seeding rates, we're still not going to be very expensive to do it.
Sure.
And we're putting it out there. We don't have any application cost because we're already spreading urea anyway.
Sure.
So I don't know. What's your thoughts on that? That's kind of where we've come to the conclusion now that, hey, it's good enough. We're getting in, we're moving in the right direction. I'm doing something. I'm out there anyway. This is a good opportunity for me to get some coverage. If you want to scab back in the fall with some rye in between or something like that, then okay. If you really want to get full coverage of everything, if that's one of your goals, then okay.
Right.
But that would be more so if I was looking at improving soil biology or soil health or something like that, not necessarily the goal for erosion control and feeding cattle.
Yep. And that's important to understand what your goal is.
Yeah.
But I think that When we had kind of talked about that, I still am very curious to see if we can get, because a radish seed's a lot different than a ryegrass seed. Ryegrass seed could be a little bit fluffy. I think that you could have some real ballistic problems with that. But your radish, I would think, would sling pretty far with the fertilizer. So I think we can get coverage out there where we get 100% or close to, wherever the fertilizer is, I think we can get seed.
Yeah.
Even crimson clover, I think, can spread pretty well. It's clovers strong, are typically,
pretty hard, though.
They're pretty hard seed. But what I'm really curious about is, everybody thinks that you have to have this perfect spread, right? Like,
right.
I need, so many ryegrass on your per square foot,
and
we're all kind of trained that way from the NRCS recommendations and stuff. But I don't think nature is that way.
No.
If you go out and you look in a pasture, it's not evenly spread.
Yeah, yeah.
So I am curious to see if there's any animal implications to, I got a lot of ryegrass in one area, and then maybe I got some rye and some clover and a little bit of radishes. But then as I go further into that spread, I'm pretty much and brassica dominated. Is that going to bother? I think the cows will just move around.
Yeah, they're going to eat what whatever they want, they're gonna pick
when they want it.
Yeah, they're going to pick through it.
So, you know, I don't think it's going to be as big a deal on the how well it's spread per square foot as far as getting all your species into every square foot out there. Not worried about it.
No.
I'm just curious whether we can get it, get 100% of our coverage area.
Yeah,
covered.
Get a decent coverage across the whole thing. Right. Or we try some other species. You know, we're only talking about a couple of them right now.
Right.
And we looked into the coating and stuff, but
sure.
We're trying to figure out how can we take this study that we're doing and make it readily available, easily adopted by as many people as we can possibly help. This is the way to do that.
Sure. And there's a lot of, you know, coding's become a big thing out west. There's a lot of reasons why you could, you know, that we don't need to get into to why you could say that is. Now, whether coding, there's an invested interest for people to start coding seed. Now, the question is always whether that's good or bad. You know, there's a heating process that's involved in coding seed, and shelf lives of seed coated typically tend to be less than that of uncoated. You're also getting, you know, in every bag of coated seed, you're getting 33% to 35% of inert material, which is the coating itself. So you're, you know, you're getting 65% seed to 35%, you know,
coating,
whatever's in their mixture. You know, this is not uncommon. If you look at alfalfa, these smaller seeded, a lot of times, you know, you see this already. But I just think it's going to be curious to see, you know, how well ours performs versus the coated.
Yeah.
You know, if the ballistics of it, right? Because at the end of the day, we're kind of arguing maybe the ballistics aren't as important as what we are making them out to be.
I think it's
not okay. Some people are making out to be.
Right.
Then I think your cost per acre, your people being able to feasibly handle inventory to get you product is going to be a lot easier if it's in a non-coated situation, because it's not, coating is not something that's just easily done.
And no, it's going to be a lot of logistics and cost more money. So the option that we were looking at, and I've talked with the company on, is that what we would do to, if we can only get so much of a spread, is that we would take and make double the passes through the field. So we would knock our urea rate in half and make double the passes. So we're getting the cover crop coating out there, spreading the urea across the whole area, and making double the passes. You know, going a pass every 45 feet versus every 90 feet.
Or you
it
could,
works.
You
I mean,
could
it's just more passes.
It too. You know, I mean, assuming you're working with a fairly squared field, you could, you know, maybe checkerboard it.
Sure.
You know, there's all kinds of ways to, like to crisscross it, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's all kinds of ways to do that. The question is whether they're going to charge you double for the application.
Right, so that's the thing. And that it just comes down to the application fee, but maybe that still works out better if your application fee
is
$7.
Well, you're doing
$7
standing corn, right?
Yeah.
So you can't charge.
We're not
going to
crisscross
now.
Sorry.
But
we can make double the passes, and maybe it's $10 an acre application fee instead of $7, but maybe that's worth it if you really want pretty thick coverage.
You know, but at $12, you're getting three species. You know, it's always hard to talk prices so relative, but let's just say for $10 to $15 in seed costs and $10 in an application fee,
you're still money.
You got $25 an acre into something that you're going to feed to your cattle. I mean, to me, that's as cheap a feed as you can get out there.
Seems pretty good. I don't know. So we're going to take, basically my aim on it is we're going to try this stuff out there. We're going to try a couple different things. We're going to keep learning from guys like Michael Vitito, who is drilling the stuff in. We're going to look at some different species. We're going to try some stuff out there. Just take a lot of pictures, and we're going to see what happens. We're going to fly the drone, and then we're going to look at yield and the economic impact at the end and see if this is something that we can try to move forward on.
It's funny you bring up pictures. If you like looking at pictures, you should check out our Facebook accounts. But also, my intern for the summer, Emily Hora, she runs a Twitter account, Corn Paparazzi, at Corn Paparazzi. Tons of photos, lots of photos.
Huge.
If you like photos, that's the place to go.
If you like photos, you're going to
I would probably
like this
expect
account,
Instagram account to be created pretty soon. So wanted to give that shout out to her. She's doing a great job with that. So pretty good interesting cover crop trial. We're going to be keeping you up to date on that. Absolutely. If you want to see the pictures and follow along.
We'll post a lot of stuff on, on Continuum Ag's social media. And now I guess we're on Instagram too, just in.
Yeah, there you go.
I guess we're going to be on Instagram
too. Hey, you need some followers.
And we
go look
need
up
followers.
Continuum Ag on Instagram. And while you're there, look up Stout Seed. Follow us both and we'll we'll just give you all kinds of
the pictures. Girls will follow you back, though. We won't do it.
Yep.
We'll
do it. Hey, until next time. Appreciate it. Thanks.